Hello, everyone, and welcome to another ISOCA podcast. My name is Chris McGowan. I'm the Principal Information Security Professional Practice here at ISOCA. Joining me today is Alex Stan from Adobe. So let's start. And how you doing, Alex?
Hey, everyone. This is Alex. So very fine. Excited for this podcast. Just a little thing about myself. So I'm a product security engineer from Adobe. I'm mostly responsible for triaging and validating security reports from our bug bounty program, and usually kind of responsible for managing the bug bounty program and, you know, deal with the initiatives to scale our program. I'm very passionate about cybersecurity in general, but I do find my way in the application security stuff. So definitely the bug bounty program is something that I'm very, very interested in.
So Alex, where are you physically located?
Yes, I'm located in Bucharest, Romania. I've been here like for the most time, like raised here, never left Bucharest.
Really? Never been outside the country?
Oh yeah, I've been, but like on visited, you know, certain vacations, but I never, you know, lived in certain parts of the globe.
You ever been to the United States?
No, but I do want to for B-Side San Francisco. So it'd be nice to meet my colleagues from Adobe there.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
So you currently work at Adobe. Where did you work before that?
Yeah, I worked at Secure. So I was in a different kind of role as a security analyst, mostly doing security operation in a security operation center. So triaging security alerts. It was a different work, like more for, let's say, the blue team stuff. So right now I'm more of the exploitation red team kind of role, seeing, you know, all of these provably exploitable vulnerabilities affecting directly our assets. So I do enjoy both type of the works, but I'm more up for the application security side.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. We both have similar history. I've done the same thing, worked on SOC floor, red team, blue team, all kinds of stuff like that. So I think that benefits people like me and you getting to see both sides of the coin. Jumping into bug bounties, which is what you're pretty much responsible for now, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Quite enjoyed it like for 2 years and a half, right?
Oh, wow. Could you give our audience just like a high level overview of what a bug bounty program actually is?
Yeah, sure. So basically the concept of bug bounty, we can think it as a platform where a company exposes its assets, like its products, its applications. And on that platform, there are numerous security researchers who are willing to test your application for security vulnerabilities. Of course, they will get paid. So whenever they submit a vulnerability report and it's found out to be, you know, a true positive report with, you know, good steps to reproduce a proof of concept, basically, the company should pay a bounty to the researcher. Those researchers are very good, and they have, you know, very specific skill set. So actually, for the bug bounty programs, you can build your own program and set it up. But we at Adobe, we use HackerOne. So we manage this bug bounty program through them, basically.
Researchers, they're basically, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're basically ethical hackers, probably.
Yeah, definitely ethical hackers. I think one advantage of this research is like some of them are doing this part-time or full-time, but they kind of are selecting their targets, and they can be very specific, that like having the specific skills of, let's say, in mobile applications. So this is the fun part. There are a lot of researchers, and they're very skilled in a particular area. So that is kind of a benefit of the bug bounty program, to gather this type of unique researchers.
Well, being that you have to pretty much open up your assets to them, is it the kind of thing where you whitelist things, like this is what you're allowed to do, this is what you're not allowed to do, or are they pretty much given free rein?
We don't really want to give this opportunity.
Lay everything out there, right?
Oh yeah. We do have a specific policy and the test plan. We give specific instructions. Basically, it's it requires to have, you know, a conversation with maybe the product team and talk with them, like what we do actually want to expose, what functionality, what is allowed to test, what vulnerabilities we won't want to accept. Like we don't, usually in the bug bounty space, we don't accept like a low hanging fruit, so let's say security best practices. We're really looking into this provably exploitable vulnerabilities, like, you know, cross-site scripting, things like that.
That's probably a big one, cross scripting, right?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Figured as much.
Yeah.
Hey, so when it comes to the bug bounty program, what are the benefits adding it to your cybersecurity program, and what like drives Adobe and ethical hackers to be a part of the program?
Yeah, well, let's say I think the biggest impact, let's say I can compare the bug bounty program with a pen test. It's a good comparison. The advantage of having a bug bounty program is that this is not time box. So you gave the researchers like plenty of time, like unlimited time to test your application, to getting maybe to understand the code base and the functionalities. And you kind of gave them, you know, this opportunity to get into very much detail, and they really come up with very, very interesting findings. So this is the main advantage that I see. Of course, it's very nice having like finding vulnerabilities before adversaries. So we can think of each hacker as, let's say, a unique adversary. Like what happens if somebody else found this vulnerability and exploited, like a bad actor, right? So we really like having this reports coming directly to us and not on dark web or something, right? And it gives a really, you know, general view about the securability of an application. So,
so basically they look for the holes and you guys plug them before the wrong people find the holes.
Yeah, totally. And
I use the word holes loosely, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And it's nice because you pay for what you get, right? So you don't have to pay for everything, and you pay based on severity. Like
So basically, if they don't find anything, they don't. There's no monetary exchange, basically.
Exactly. And you know, the better the finding is, the higher the bounty is, right?
That must be quite the motivation on their end to really take the time and do it right, so that they, well, basically they get paid, right?
Yeah, and they're usually trying to provide so much impact because, you know, they know with higher impact, they're getting a higher bounty just because it influences the CVSS score of the finding. So yeah, it's a really nice dynamic there, you know, with the communication with hackers.
So how does your team at Adobe work to improve internal testing methods and like vulnerability disclosure?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. I think I'll just start here by making some comparison between types of testing. So I'll talk about a little bit about shift left testing versus shift right testing. So shift left testing usually occurs when the application is not deployed to production, and you try to secure your application as much as possible within the secure, like the software development lifecycle, right? And how you can accomplish that, you can do threat modeling, you can scan your code, you know, with static rules. I'm talking about SAST solutions, DAST solutions, SCA solutions, scanning, you know, for vulnerable dependencies, and you know, do just kind of this sessions of secure design, secure best practices with developers. And there is the shift right testing, which usually happens after the application is deployed to production. So we believe the bug bounty program, of course, is in the shift right testing, where the application or the product is, you know, already released. This is the application, please test it out. But with the bug bounty program, we want not only to focus and motivate, let's say, the shift right testing teams at Adobe, but also the shift left, just because it's easier to fix the vulnerability early in the software development lifecycle. It's just easier there, and it's just less money to spend, right?
Yep. So yeah. Fix it before it goes out in production, basically. Well, do your best to.
Yeah, totally. And as for our testing teams, I'll just give some examples. So for the shift right testing, whenever we receive a report, it usually contains, you know, a certain payload, maybe it's a web application, but usually you can generate a nuclei template out of it and scan with that specific plate of that specific payload other applications, like other URLs, other domains, other paths. And you can, yeah, basically it's a very good information you get from one report, and you can scan your entire network with that specific payload, and you don't have to wait until the next bug bounty researcher finds something similar. You just scan it yourself. So that's a big impact. With the shift left in team, we usually, once we receive multiple reports for a product, maybe we can establish something like what its product weakness. So maybe a product is done poorly for input validation type of things, and we can go to, like, let's say thread modeling and say we should do some thread modeling specifically on this application, on this functionality for input validation issue types. Or we can do some security best practices, security awareness training for developers on the how to perform input validation. And also we can improve the SAST detections, like whenever a developer submits a PR and before it is merged, just scan more about this type of issues, like input related issues, if they are sanitized or not. So yeah, basically.
So it's a lot more involved than just go find what's broken. There's a lot more to it.
Yeah. If you want to get value out of it, it's best to coordinate with all of the teams. Also, of course, as I think I mentioned, the red team in the introduction, we do interact with red team. So they try to mimic, you know, every, let's say, HackerOne researcher. And try to, you know, gather their tactics, techniques, and procedures, and try themselves to emulate that adversary. And it's actually very nice, because we can kind of get into the tabletop, and based on, you know, some vulnerability disclosures, like we receive a report, and let's say the researcher found a remote code execution, we can treat that as an incident and see what the SOC team is doing and what the incident response is doing. And also it's a good practice, like it's good to check the logs, maybe someone before the researcher actually found this. So I do think it's a very good value out of it to coordinate with all of these teams I mentioned.
So I say this all the time in all the podcasts I do at the end, but the fact of, you know, always continue to learn and share knowledge, right? I think that's key to being successful and not just, you know, the security industry, but just in any job. Sharing information makes you a lot more successful.
Yeah, totally. I believe security is really a team sport. So
yeah, absolutely.
Need to collaborate more. Yeah.
I remember many years ago, it was more like a pride thing where people would keep things to themselves as like a, I'm, you know, stump the chump, I'm better than somebody else. So back in the day, sharing information wasn't as common as it is now.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Yeah, well, sad days.
But then again, I've been doing this for, you know, 20 plus years, so a lot of things have changed in that time frame. So we've talked about the overlying, this is what a bug hunt is, a bug bounty program. But how, I'm sure a lot of people have the question, how do you keep those ethical hackers engaged? You know, how do you keep them wanting to do this?
Yeah, sure. Well, that's a good question, because, you know, I've mentioned the bounty aspect, but you might wonder, like, maybe I'm not giving enough bounties. Maybe my products, you know, are very hard to pen test. But we can do some extra incentives to see how the researchers react to certain, let's say, initiatives. So I'm, for the first one, I'm going to talk about bounty campaigns, where we can actually, you know, set, let's say for, we pick a product and we say, you know, for this product, if you find a SQL injection, you'll get 2x bounty. So this is a campaign for 1 month, 2x bounties for a certain vulnerability. We at Adobe actually did this, for example, for the CISA CAP list, the known exploitable vulnerabilities. So we gave like 2 or 3x for each researcher who found this type of CVE in our network infrastructure. So it's a very good incentive, and we really, with this, we have a lot of flexibility. We can change the attention of the researcher for certain products or certain functionalities or certain vulnerabilities. So this is a good incentive. One of them, another one is the Hall of Fame. So researchers are usually not interested in the monetary aspect, but they are very interested in the reputational aspect as well. So,
because I think it translates to that in the long run. The better you are,
basically they have this Twitter posts, LinkedIn posts, and they really want to create a little kind of like a CV. Look what I did. I achieved number one of the Hall of Fame project, or this company like Adobe assigned a CV to myself. So it's something you should be proud of, right? Having a CV.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And yeah, we actually did a Hall of Fame project, and it was very nice. We established like a score for each report, like based on the severity, like a low report received like 1 point. For a medium one, you receive 2 points, but then it increases exponentially. Like whenever you submit a high report, it's 6 points. If you submit a critical report, it's 10 points. And if you submit a CCCV, that's 20 points. So we kind of play with that. Yeah. And let's say, in each quarter, we do have like a top 10 of researchers. And usually for this winners, we just gave them some Adobe branded swag with, you know, Adobe's Bug Bounty program. And they were very interested in this and actually, you know, shared LinkedIn posts. It's very funny. Very nice. So
I'm pretty sure they were quite engaged to, you know, do better and find more exciting things.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Another incentive is we did something very interesting. We did some blog post, like security spotlight for some researchers, like some faithful researchers who we worked with, like, let's say, for a long period of time. And they were, you know, it's very nice interacting with them, and they submit good quality reports. And we just wanted to make like an interview with them, address some questions. And they were interested in that too. Like, it's again something to do with the reputational aspect. And yeah, I think
you get your name and face out there, of course.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, it's really, really nice. I'd like to be part of that too, but I'm not a bug bounty hunter myself. But yeah.
Yeah, I got you. So is it difficult, or is there a high demand for these ethical hackers? Is it difficult sometimes to get the use them as resources?
I think for Adobe, it's not quite, since I guess we're kind of popular and everyone wants to somehow pen test for us, even in the
bigger company, more successful. I got you.
Yeah. And we do have two programs. One is a vulnerability disclosure program, and where we don't pay for every asset. Like there are certain products that are paid, but we don't have the money to pay for every random, let's say, domain belonging to Adobe. Like, that's not quite a product. It doesn't quite impact, the impact to customer is limited to zero. And we don't pay for those, but still reports are coming in. So they really like the reputational aspect out of it and appear into a certain leaderboard, either on HackerOne or Hall of Fame or blog posts or anything like that.
So basically, like you're saying, you don't pay for everything, but depending on the severity and what it impacts, is really depends on the monetary part of it.
The process is very well documented. So we do have a policy. So all the assets which are in scope for a bounty, and then once you found find an asset that is, with this asset, basically, if you find something that is actually, true positive reports, even if it's a low severity, we can pay you. But if the asset is not eligible for a bounty, we're not paying anything.
Right, I got you.
Since Adobe is big and it'll be hard to pay for everything.
See, I thought I knew a lot about the bug bounty, but hearing behind the scene stuff, it's a lot more involved than just hiring somebody to, I don't want to say pen test, to do their own testing to find vulnerabilities and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Very complex.
So before I let you go, what advice would you offer to organizations considering building a bug bounty program? And some of the key things they should keep in mind before they try and jump into this.
Sure. I think the first thing is be ready for the influx. So I'm not sure. It depends for every program, but you might receive a lot of reports, and you need to first, settle down, establish a good policy, establish a good relationship with the product teams before you onboard the product team to the bug bounty program. You should have established a good, let's say, vulnerability triage process. So whenever you receive a report, you should, let's say, establish some key contacts for the engineering team. Like we receive this report, we create, let's say, a ticket in your product queue. Who should be the assignee? How should we inform you? We should assign an SLA, so this kind of stuff. So you should really establish some process before going into it, because you might get flooded with reports and you don't have a good process in place. So this is the best advice. So I think starting small with onboarding and then grow bigger on the asset onboarding. So you can grow bigger on the asset onboarding. You onboarded an asset, everything goes fine. You can onboard another asset. And again, with hacker engagement. So you are satisfied, somehow satisfied with the number of reports, and maybe you want more reports. You can start, working with the hacker engagement and, do the things that I've said, like having a Hall of Fame or maybe having a live hacking event or things like that which helps with the engagement part. And I think the last piece of advice should be having a metrics-driven approach. So always measure the reports, and like for every product, we actually have this kind of stuff in Power BI. We just have dashboards like for every product, what type of vulnerabilities do they get? What are the usual severity? What are the usual root causes and things like that? And based on that metrics, you can make good informed decisions. So basically that's the advice. Get slow, but very consistent.
Yeah. So I'm guessing another last big advice you can give to any company is, when it comes to like strategic planning, it takes manpower to do this. It's not just adding it to your security policy. It probably takes dedicated personnel to be able to manage the program, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, there's so much to manage, and it's not usually a reporter, maybe submits a finding to you. It, you have to verify the finding. You have to communicate back and forth with the hacker, with the product team. So you really need to have dedicated people there. Yeah. So
I know that's probably one of the hardest things for any company is to supply more manpower, because that obviously costs money or investment.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, well, you can deal with like automation, like we automate as much as we can in our processes, but yeah, still you need manpower. You cannot do this with minimal resources.
So Alex, I really appreciate your time, man, and it was a great conversation. Is there any last words you'd like to leave for our audience before we conclude the podcast?
Yeah, sure. So I would advise everyone, so whether you're, a pen tester or an aspiring hacker, you can start leverage your skills with Bug Bounty, like companies are exposing their assets, it's a good way of learning. Even if you don't find anything, it's a good, you know, good practice to enhance your skills. And you pen test on various products. And the cool thing is that each product is very different, different code base, different functionality. It could be a desktop app, could be mobile app. So it's very nice for your aspiring hackers to get into bug bounty. And for companies, I do think it really elevates your security posture, like integrating the bug bounty space with other existing capabilities and teams, you know, can help you make some very good informed decision. And it kind of gives you a sense of securability because you're exposing your assets to the public and like to many, many hackers, which are very, very skilled. It kind of gives you, let's say, the confidence, like in what you should invest more in for the security of your product or infrastructure. So yeah, this is my advice.
Well, thank you very much. Lastly, I want to thank you, obviously, for taking the time to talk with us. Thank you, Adobe, for loaning you out.
Sure.
And I hope we get to talk again in the future. And if anybody's interested in more information on the bug bounty program with Adobe, you can click on the link below this and you can get a lot more information. So let's close it out. I said it earlier, I'll say it again. We all have to continue to learn, continue to share information. That's how we'll be successful in our industry. So until next time, this is Chris McGowan signing off.